The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Stay out of houses that don't belong to you and you are not invited into. TMZ is breaking this story this afternoon.
They didn't even take anything.
Well, I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce's Kansas City area houses were burglarized last month, according to TMZ Sports. According to a Cass County Sheriff's Office document that TMZ has obtained, the burglary at Mahomes' extravagant Belton, Missouri estate was reported to cops at around midnight on October 6th. I believe that is a Sunday.
That was the night before
they played the
football game against the Saints.
Sources familiar with the situation tell us that Kelce's Leawood, Kansas mansion was broken into just hours later on October 7th, the same day the Chiefs took on the Saints in a Monday night football game at Arrowhead Stadium. It is currently unclear what, if anything, was taken. In the Mahomes case, officials say they're still investigating. In Kelce's, a police activity log appears to show that the break-in was reported sometime on October 8th, but no further details were available.
That makes me so mad.
Sources tell TMZ they believe the two burglaries may be part of a larger crime spree in the area.
Wait a minute.
Taylor was in town, by the
way. There is no way that there's some coincidence that those homes, which I'm very familiar with both locations. You know, I live sort of in between, not near, but in between-ish.
You did. That house sold.
In between-ish. Those homes are 10 minutes apart. Mm-hmm. A full 10 minutes apart. What do you mean they're thinking this is a part of a bigger ring? This is a ring of they're gone because they're playing football and I know it. These are the homes I'm going to break into.
I think you might be reading too much into that. They're not saying that it's not connected. They're saying that it's just part of a large crime spree that's going on in the area.
The security at those homes is enormous. Yeah. So they would have to know, I would think, pretty darn quickly what they were driving, what they looked like.
Mm-hmm. You mean with all the cameras and everything?
Yes! Yeah.
Something tells me they didn't go in the front.
Yeah, but I mean, Sam, you know this. I had, 15 cameras in and around my house. You don't think they've got 10,000? Of course they do. Plus guards, plus the guard shack, plus, you know, all of the things that you have in one of those gated areas.
And they've got to have home security. Just, you know, a window breaks or a door is opened without the key.
I'm sorry to repeat myself. Something tells me they didn't go in the front.
It just, the whole thing makes me so mad.
Do we know how long they stayed inside?
No, it doesn't say. You know, I have heard from people, I know people, and maybe you do too, Scott, who are burglary victims. And they will say that while it's not as violently jarring as like a car crash, or it's not, with all of the crimes that can happen to any of us, you know, for whatever reason, that there is nothing quite like knowing someone has been in your house that does not belong there.
When you weren't there.
Yes.
I mean, God forbid if they had stayed in the house when these guys came home.
I don't think they're that stupid.
I would hope not.
This is going to be get in, grab something of value, and get out. These people are idiots.
They didn't take anything, according to the story.
Well, in the Mahomes case, they're not sure yet. They're still looking.
I mean,
God, I would be mad.
These homes are very public. We know what they look like. They're easy to find on Google Maps. It would be very easy to figure out an alternative plan to get around said security.
These are going to be idiots that are looking for a quick turn for drug money. This is not some organized ring. I really don't think so. I think these are idiots looking for drug money.
But to your point, they wouldn't have been able to come in the front gate. I've tried to enter that facility before. You have to have someone who's got your name written down to get into that front gate.
I just feel bad. And to the point that, like, yes, their houses are out there. It's not just that. I mean, any celebrity's house is out there. I hate to say it. Any celebrity that's ever sold a house, the photos are out there. I mean, it's just the world we live in with the internet.
Well, let's hope it doesn't happen again.
Just got this in from the Leavenworth County Attorney. I think this is going to be our 4 o'clock topic.
Todd Thompson is his name.
A 29-year-old former restaurant employee has been found guilty of inflating tip amounts on the line to fraudulently increase his earnings. During a plea hearing.
Didn't we have a story similar to this?
Oh, man. Haven't you always wondered when you're signing the thing, like, do they add a one? Like, you know what I mean?
So
like,
what I normally do, and I know we had a story about this a couple of weeks ago because I remember telling this story.
Who goes back and takes this receipt and then checks it against your bank? Yeah. I don't.
Now, more often, Sam and I went out and had lunch over the weekend, and I didn't have cash on me. So I did write my tip in the tip line. But normally what I'll write in the tip line is cash.
When did you guys have lunch without me?
Afterwards. I told you that in a text.
We also all looked at each other and said, lunch?
Yeah. And you...
You walked off, and I thought you were saying no. You want to hear the funniest thing about that? We had lunch next door to you at Lydia's. I saw you walking out of your car.
Oh, yeah. We had lunch at Grunauer's. We asked you guys.
Yeah, we said lunch. And you
did
go,
not.
You both
I heard
us.
Scott say lunch. And then I saw you go to your truck. And I'm like, all right. Do you want to go to?
I can tell you how that conversation went.
You want to go to Lydia's?
I said, lunch, guys. And you and your friend got in the car. And then Sam goes, I'll take you up on that. I know exactly where we're going to go.
I didn't hear that part.
And Sam said, I know exactly where we're going to go. And I go, Grunauer's.
Well,
and he goes,
I would have gone in a heartbeat. I thought you said no. So then we get, sorry, we're diverting here, private conversation. We get to Lydia's. We get to Lydia's, and Lydia's is closed for a private event.
I know it wasn't Grunauer.
Yeah. I know it. So then I was like, well, never mind.
What were we even talking about?
I digress.
About how I didn't have cash with me on Saturday when you and I had lunch.
I didn't hear anything after that day. Sam and I had lunch, and I was like, wait a minute. Was I not invited?
You most certainly were, and you passed. Too bad. I would have bought. Anyway, I usually write, I didn't Saturday because I didn't have cash on me, but I usually go into a restaurant if I know I'm going out to eat with cash. And I write cash on there, and so the total is actually the total of the bill, and I leave them a cash.
That's actually smart, because then you always know the number should match the number.
Yeah.
This time he said, what's that number say?
I didn't bring my glasses. I didn't have my glasses with me.
I will finish reading the story now.
Okay.
During a plea hearing today, Taylor Roy of Kansas City, Missouri, entered a no contest plea to a single count of theft. The court accepted his plea and found him guilty.
Today is 3 days after you could have gotten a free lunch.
I want you to do the math here, because he entered a no contest plea to a single count of theft. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Follow me here.
All right.
Between December 18th, 2020 and February 11th, 2021.
That's 14 months.
Roy entered fraudulent tip amounts on credit card transactions.
Wait. February of 2020? Or check that. December of 2020.
Yeah, I hate calendars. Roy entered fraudulent tip amounts on credit card transactions. At the end of each shift, he received cash payments based on the inflated tip amounts he had entered. Huh? The victim, a national chain restaurant located south of downtown Leavenworth, ultimately did not receive payment from the credit card companies, resulting in a loss of, you're going to have to do this math because it's a whopper, $7,839. So you might be asking yourself, Let's have a chat here, Taylor Roy.
He's billing himself an extra $2,600 a month.
Okay. This is where I was going with this. Sweet, sweet Taylor Roy. $7,839 in 12 weeks. Mm-hmm. Unless you are the greatest waiter in the history of casual dining, they were always going to look at this and say something is not right here, correct?
One would think, yes.
This is the $7,800 additional. That's what I'm saying, Sam. This is not like...
Yeah.
He would have to have been tipping himself. He wasn't, this is my guess, wasn't changing it from a $3 tip to a $5 tip. This means he was changing it from a $3 tip, say, to like a $30 tip.
I mean, assuming he didn't work every single night, he was probably upping his tips by roughly $100 per night.
No, that's that still doesn't square.
$2,600
yeah, it does, a month.
See, this is why I'd never be a criminal. I can't even do criminal math.
This is why I don't put my signature
really
on the bottom of those slips.
Pursuant to his plea agreement, he has agreed to pay restitution in the full amount. I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Sentencing hearing is scheduled for December 18th.
These things always start small and grow into issues where they eventually get caught. I wonder how far back they've looked.
Wait a minute.
And if they need to look further.
This says, and this is quoting here from Todd here. Unfortunately, scams can and do happen. Inflating tip amounts on a receipt is one of many ways a restaurant employee might scheme their employer out of money. Are they scheming the employer out of money or you, Scott?
Me mainly, but to some extent, the employer, a lesser extent.
It would only be the employer if they were writing off products that they... initially charged them for.
But this says one of the many ways a restaurant employee might scheme their employer out of money. And if you go back, I'm going to read it again. The victim does not say they're patrons. The victim, a national chain restaurant.
Well, there used to be an Applebee's south of downtown. I can't find it on the map.
Ultimately
right now.
Did not receive payment from the credit card companies, resulting in a loss of $7,839. How was he doing this?
Well, one... Dana, the last time I crimed, I was very slick about it. I have no idea. But we had a similar story where they're adding either a one in the beginning or an extra zero somewhere
in there.
But
that's victimizing me, isn't it? As the customer.
Well, so if the restaurant is the victim here, they were bringing out the initial bill that had everything that they ordered. They said, okay, here's your card or here's our card. We'll pay. He then comes back with the transaction receipt and says, hey, we went ahead and took care of X, Y, and Z for you. Took it off the bill. And the typical practice there is to tip
a little bit more.
More on yeah. top of what you just now, in theory, stole from your employer.
Or he could be inflating the actual price of the food and drink served and also inflating the tip, thereby inflating the entire amount. The business is... claiming that they made, instead of $24, $124 on a meal.
Okay.
That they now have to report to the government as taxable income. Somebody says Applebee's in Leavenworth closed last month. Okay.
Oh?
Well, it could have been open back then.
I'm just saying, follow me here. And Applebee's, we've talked about it. Casual dining is not doing well right now.
No, it's not.
To somehow scam $7,300, if you had said to me this had happened to Capital Grill mm-hmm. or it happened to the Bristol right. or, you know.
Chris on line one has the answer for us.
Please.
We're late for the break.
Yes, we are.
So if Chris can hang on, we will get the explanation in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. We're talking about this case out of Leavenworth where man's pleaded guilty. He was a waiter apparently at a national chain back in late 2000, early 2001. Only worked there for about 3 months, give or take. The only national chain I could think of south of downtown would be Applebee's, and that one did close about a month ago. But we don't know that it was that restaurant. But anyway, somehow bilked either the restaurant or the restaurant and customers or customers out of roughly $7,000+ over a 3 month period, according to the press release that we've received from the Leavenworth County Attorney's Office. Shane in Overland Park, 586-7798. Shane, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
All right. This is how they do it generally. And you pay your bill, you put your tip on it. At the end of the night, the waiter or waitress tallies up their stuff, and the business pays in cash to said waiter or waitress at the end of the night, every night. And so they're, you know, fluffing it. And you said that the company wasn't getting paid from the credit card company, correct?
I don't know that.
Okay, I thought that you were saying that, you know, the company wasn't receiving payment. And that's generally because the credit card company realizes that it's a fraud. And so the customer's usually not getting billed, and the money's just coming, you know, the company's just losing the money. And that's generally how it happens.
And I
so
wonder if
they just kind of catch up with them.
Yeah. Is it why he only worked there 3 months? You're not going to get away with it for a year.
So a number of people are saying that. Thank you, Shane, by the way, for the call. A number of texters are saying something very similar. Once, you know, let's say you and I go out to dinner and you get your bank statement at the end of the month, and there's no way you dropped $150 at restaurant X.
At Applebee's.
You're going to call it in immediately. Yeah.
Hang on now. What's going on?
And tell your bank, I have the receipt. I did not pay $150. It was a $40 meal between me and my co-host.
I did not pay $150. I went to Applebee's.
Right.
And then they wouldn't even investigate it. They would go, we believe you.
But that payment's now on hold because it's considered
fraud. So then the
fraud.
Company does not get its money. Right.
Or a lot of people go in and they check their transactions on a daily basis. And maybe they saw, oh, wait a minute, last night it says we spent $80. We only spent $60.
Okay, but that's
so
what I want to know.
The charge.
How many people listening right now, like, do you check those receipts against what? No, because by the time you get the bill.
Most people check on their app all the time.
To see what you paid, that means you're keeping the receipt. And you have it in front of you and you are looking at it and checking against what's.
Well, no, they're keeping track of their finances. But most people would remember, unless it was, you know, that type of night, if you know what I'm saying. Most people would remember what that final number was.
I've dated women who check every day.
Only if you're allegedly stealing $7,000 in 3 months. If let's say I went out to let's not make it about an Applebee's. Let's make it about Red Door Grill. You know how much I love Red Door.
Yeah.
And I'm just scrolling through my bank stuff 3 weeks later or whatever, and I see, okay, this squares, that squares, there's rent, there's all this. And then I see Red Door Grill, $52.63. Would I remember that instead of $52.63, it was $38? No.
But that's what I'm saying, though.
It would have to be a significant difference.
For him to pull $7,000 in 3 months,
it was.
It would have to be.
But there's a lot of people out there who wake up and check their bank account.
Mm-hmm. I know people who do that. They check, well, not every day, but any day after they bought something, they will check to make sure, or 2 days after, to make sure that the amount that was withdrawn looks correct.
I applaud those people, and for gigantic transactions, I do that.
Yeah.
Like if something comes out and it's $2,000, I'm going to look and make sure, like, what was that?
Well,
but the difference between a $70 and a $60 dinner, whatever, I feel like for me that... It's not that I don't care. I do care.
It's just not worth the time.
It's just, it's a lot of work to do that.
But for a lot of people who are scammed, like this guy apparently scammed these people, it's those little 20, I went into Applebee's and had a drink.
Nickel here, nickel there.
And that drink now costs you $150.
Do you know what you could do, Sam? Because I use the Notes app in my phone all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes they make sense. Sometimes my notes don't make any sense
to me. As an ADHD person, none of my notes make sense, and none of them are complete.
There's never a verb in there. I don't know what I'm trying to say to myself. Mm-mm. But if you had a space in your notes that every time you went out to dinner, you just jotted down in your phone in notes $48.33, that I could see then when I check my bank statement, you open notes and it goes boom, 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 boom. That would be a way that my brain could.
I still think you're stuck on the idea that it's a bank statement, though. Like, my girlfriend, every time she swipes her credit card, gets a text message for the value that it was swiped for.
Really?
So if we go to dinner and she happens to pay that night, before we get to the truck...
And how often is she paying, Sam?
Yeah, that's a better question.
Before we get to the truck...
913-586-7798. Let's unpeel that onion when we get back.
Should she break up with him, or is he just a jerk?
Before we get to the truck...
She put gas in your truck too, Sam?
No, actually, I put gas in her car this week. Thank you.
Don't turn your mic off angrily like you're hanging up a phone in 1986.
Did you guys hear that?
Yes! He just slammed down his own phone!
It's like I called you in 1986 and broke up with you. Enough of that. Wow.
Can I say something that is going to sound so not like the feminist I am?
Okay.
Oh, I don't even want to say it. Let me think about it, and then I'll maybe say it when I get back.
No, we are way late for break.
No, we can wait.
Off the brain. It's ready. It's right there on the tip of your tongue.
I'm willing to wait.
Let's say dinner is $50. Let's make it a nice, even number.
Sounds good.
And you and I are going out to dinner, Scott. You and I, and it's $50.
And our current capacity is just friends and co-hosts.
No, let's say in some alternative Bermuda Triangle,
like
you and I are out on a date, and it's $50.
Like we were last week?
Like the lunch I was apparently not invited to over the weekend.
You were.
I would rather, let's say I'm paying for the dinner, which is fine. I would rather give you the $50 and have you pay for the dinner than me pay for the dinner, and I don't know why.
Huh.
They do always hand the check to the guy.
They do.
Every time.
Except apparently in your world. 913-586-7798.
That wasn't the point that I was trying to make.
That's the point you made. 586-7798.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll just grab a couple more calls and then move on to some other stuff. Chuck in Blue Springs. Chuck, good afternoon. Hi.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Anytime.
Hey, so I got my credit card set up to where it will send me a notice, and I usually receive them about 30 seconds after the transaction. I even got my wife connected also so I can keep track of where she's at and what she's spending.
Chuck! What is this, 1940?
You're a good man,
at least
Chuck.
She's out of the house.
Oh my god.
At least she's out of the house.
Wow. Wow.
Well played, sir. Doc in St. Joseph.
Oh my god.
Hello, Doc.
Hey there. Hey, I think you're missing the point. This ne'er-do-well did not successfully scam $7,500 in tip money. The credit card companies voided the entire transaction, meal, drinks, tip, and denied that money to the restaurant. This is why they're the victim. Let's say the guy scammed 1,000 of it was in tips, but $6,500 is the cost of all those meals.
Oh.
So the true victim that he owes the money to is the restaurant. All the tip money they gave him, plus all that restaurant food and drink bills,
but
that they did not get paid,
Doc,
by the credit card.
But the entire amount wasn't fraudulent, just the part he tacked on. I mean, I still went to the restaurant and I still ate a couple of burgers and fries and a couple of Diet Cokes. That part wasn't fraudulent. I'm not denying what you're saying, but that seems unfair to the restaurant to me to void out the entire thing and not just the part that was fraud.
That's probably their policy for disputed charges.
Oh.
And thank you, Doc, for the call. And I've called the bank and had that transaction flagged as fraudulent. How do they know which portion of that to pay out? What if I say, well, I spent $24? I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably $24. Well, the bank doesn't know that.
Nor do they have the time to run down.
Right.
Yeah.
Countless customers who have phoned in that these are fraudulent charges.
Yeah.
Well, come on into the bank. We'll sit down in the lobby and we'll go over all these receipts and everything and we'll get it figured out and make sure that the restaurant gets their money. They're not going to deal with that.
Well, and once it's a fraudulent number, it's still a fraudulent transaction.
True. Bailey and Olathe, you get the last word. Hello.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to reach out about the whole aspect of, you know, I keep receipts. I run a business, so I'm checking my bank account, you know, morning, during the day, even in the evenings, to make sure that everything is on point. But for me, I keep all receipts, and that's like going to be your best bet as far as any type of like fraudulent transaction typing. So that's kind of my input on it.
Bailey, thank you. From the text line, Sam, don't let those old fuddy-duddies make you feel like you have to pay for every meal. If a woman is working, she can very well pick up the tab on occasion. As a working woman, I am very uncomfortable with a man always treating me. It's a relationship, and that includes give and take.
I agree.
Your girlfriend probably likes treating you sometimes.
It's the physical handover that for some, I don't know, maybe out of the billion points of joyous light that make up Dana.
Sorry, okay? I live in 2024.
There's one,
men and women are equal.
Tiny little part of me that is still like, I don't know why it is. I don't like the physical handing off of it. I'll pay for it all day long.
Of what, the credit card to the waiter or waitress?
It's not the money. Yeah, I don't know. Is that weird?
You want it to look like I'm treating you like the brilliant 1,000 points of light woman that you are, even though you and I have a little scam going on behind the waitress's back where you're actually paying for the meal, but it looks like I'm a man.
Maybe it's because I like want you to feel better about yourself, Chuck. Or maybe it's because I do this when my girlfriends and I are out. Like some of my best friends and I, if there's two of us, we'll go out. There's always that waitress that comes over every time and we'll say, her waiter, do you want me to just split this down the middle? And then there's that awkward moment where you're like, yeah, but I had a glass of wine and she didn't, so I'll just leave the tip. You know, there's always that like awkward, I just think I'm awkward about all of it.
And why don't you just ask her to split the tip? Or you get a separate check and your friend gets
because
a separate
check. Then I feel like I'm putting the waitress out because I'm like, oh, separate checks. Thanks a lot, Marge.
It's literally their job.
I know. And I know. I think it's easier today to separate the checks than it was maybe 20 years ago. But
that is true.
We'll usually just say, we'll just throw cards down. But that usually screws somebody. And it's never me because I'm always the one with a glass of wine. But if somebody else isn't drinking, then why should they have to split it equally?
That is not the only person on the text line, by the way, that came to my defense.
Would you like to read another?
I would not.
You're welcome to.
No, it's okay.
Are you hurt?
You guys clung to a piece of my analogy that isn't even factual, per se.
Are you butthurt in there?
No. Mm-mm.
Are you sure?
Not at all.
You were angrily turning off your microphone. Tell me if you can hear this. Are you ready?
Well, I heard it through her mic.
No, I think he did it with such robust aggressiveness. That it was akin to the 1980s slamming down of the phone.
I have to get the engineers down here to check it out. The light's not working on it.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Cracked equipment in there, Stevie.
Not be surprised. Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock, I think we already knew this, has admitted he does sometimes urinate in water bottles during filming.
Gross.
Now, we knew he did it at the gym.
Why is this always in the news.
And is occasionally slightly late to the set. In an interview with GQ magazine, the actor and producer responded to claims made by industry news site The Wrap about his on-set behavior during the filming of his latest movie, Red One. Quoting here from The Rock, I've said 1,000 times, hey, I'm here, come and ask me and I'll tell you the truth. Okay. The Rap also reported the star regularly goes to the bathroom in water bottles while making
and
his movies.
I just realized you just saw my big bottle of a pee.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
That is him doing a promotional video on Instagram where he is holding a bottle of his
that's
pee.
That's disgusting.
During the entire promotional video.
Oh, my gosh. Stop. Can we, you know, I'm going home tonight for the 9th time to attempt to watch Gladiator with my daughter. Every time to watch Gladiator with Russell Crowe, we get sidetracked and it does not happen.
So it's a long movie.
I know. So she's coming over tonight. We are going to start it right as I walk in the door because the Denzel Washington Gladiator 2 is coming up like in a week. And did you say during a break to me, Scott, that Denzel says he's almost done acting?
Yes. So
we can't have that.
I have the story right in front of me from CNN. There is already award season buzz about Denzel Washington and Gladiator 2, but he is looking even further into the future. During a recent interview with the Australia version of Today Show, Washington talked about his career and upcoming projects. The esteemed Oscar-winning actor said his project choices these days are about the filmmaker, and he is only interested in working with the best. He then went on to suggest that when he is done with Black Panther 3, that will likely be near the end of his acting career.
Mm.
By the way, Marvel has not yet officially announced a third film in the Black Panther franchise.
Dana, you will not be watching Gladiator tonight.
Why?
KU plays at 5:30.
Oh, that's right. Ooh,
who do they play?
Always something.
Michigan State.
Ooh.
Yeah.
2-0 versus 2-0, baby.
I know. It's going to be a good one.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Let me look up where Michigan State is ranked. It may be nothing. It may be over by half.
They're not ranked.
They're not?
Eh.
Then the game may be over by halftime. Then you can get Gladiator in. It's a great movie. You know, I'm not shaming you.
It won five Oscars.
I don't believe in film shaming. I just am shocked that of all the movies that you've never seen in recent history, that's the one.
Oh, I've seen Gladiator like three times. My daughter has never seen it.
Oh, I thought you said you had never seen
it. No, I'm watching it with her.
Oh.
Because I so badly want to take all of the children to see the second one.
Okay, and she's the only kid who
hasn't
seen Gladiator.
They don't quite understand the glory of the first one. And I'll tell you this. I caught it, you know, it was just like one of those things that was on. I was scrolling around like a month ago or something. It still holds up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Very well.
Not that it wouldn't. It was filmed. When was that era supposed to be?
About 2,000 years ago.
I was going to guess 200.
200?
No, I mean, it's a while ago. I just didn't know how many years. So when I said out of my mouth, it still holds up today. Well, of course it does. It was like back when they were gladiating lions or whatever they did in Rome.
What? Have you seen the movie? Are you sure?
You know my mind doesn't track calendars. You know this.
200 years ago, people had guns.
Yeah. Well, in the new Gladiator, there's rhinoceri. This is
would have been a quick fight.
Yes. Yes.
200 years ago.
Anyway, I've seen it.
What's wrong with her? I thought it was like in 1880.
Very boring. Lasted 3 seconds.
I knew it wasn't 1800s. I just didn't know what the
number was. The Romans were just way behind the times.
What the number was.
But they quickly accelerated and joined the modern world.
Look, he's driving a car.
Oh, God. You, Sam, I'm sorry to God. You should have seen the look on her face when she said, now, what era, how many years ago was that? And I go, 2000. And it's like her face just dropped. Like, oh.
I knew it was a large number. I just wasn't sure how large.
913-586.
Bigger?
7798. 586-7798. Hey, if you missed the news, we have launched Coats for Kids 2024. Did that yesterday. Very excited. It runs through December 13th. The goal this year, for those of you who have been around the show or the station long enough, you know how this works. We raise money through your generosity, and that money goes, every penny of it, to buy new coats for children who otherwise would not have one in the Kansas City metropolitan area this winter. And we're hoping to maybe generate about 3,000 coats if we can. Those coats are donated to five different school districts, Kansas City, Kansas, Kansas City, Missouri, Independence, Hickman Mills, and Center Schools. And we work through Operation Warm. They're fantastic. If you're willing, if you're able to donate, just go to our website, kmbz.com. Click on the Donate tab. That will take you to a safe and secure website. I promise you that. Or you can just text KMBZ Coats, one word, to 44321. KMBZ Coats to 44321. And a huge shout out and thanks to Pinnacle Bank, who've had our back with this project for many, many years.
We have an update to a story. This comes to us from Fox 4 about the child who was struck by the tree that fell on the property adjacent to the school. Remember that a couple weeks ago? It's been 2 weeks. We now have a little bit more information about what happened. 9-year-old Maddox Lowry was hurt nearly 2 weeks ago when that tree fell onto the blacktop and hit him Tuesday, October 29th at Pleasant Hill Elementary. His grandmother spoke with Fox 4 and says the fourth grader will not be going back to school until at least December, adding that it may be after the holidays. He was released from Children's Mercy about a week ago, but then he had to go back. And I'm quoting here from the grandma. He lost almost all of the hearing in his right ear. He will never be able to regain that. In fact, Scott, he went back for a implant last week, she says. He has multiple fractures to his face. His eye socket was fractured. He may need another surgery that is specifically for the eye damage. He has physical and speech therapy to do as well. And this breaks my heart. She says when he was in the trauma unit, she went over to him and whispered in his ear, like in his right ear, I love you. And he said, I don't understand what you're saying. And that's how they knew.
That's too bad.
He can't hear. But he is a survivor. He is alive. And we covered that. Remember, there was extremely high winds that day, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
We covered that as breaking news the day that that happened. My God, I'm just glad to hear that he is here still with us, you know, is going to have some challenges that I know he will overcome. You know, the school released a statement that just keep the family in your thoughts and all of that stuff.
Grandma says she's just angry at the situation in general. She's not criticizing the school district or the private owner of the property where the tree stood before it blew over into the wind. She just says, I'm just angry.
The tree was on private property adjacent to the fence next to the basketball goal on the blacktop when that tree toppled. So,
okay. Megan Fox is expecting a baby with Machine Gun Kelly.
I don't know. I got through my day without that news.
I know. Well, that's why I gather this kind of news, because I know you'd be interested.
Appreciate that, Scott.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that update. Carol Baskin, by the way, slamming Louisiana governor for wanting a live tiger back at the LSU game.
Okay.
I'm not saying a word.
You know why?
Man. I'm not getting
sued. Because she saw tiger.
Okay.
And tiger saw man.
Hello, pot.
Quick break for the news. Dan Weinbaum has that coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.